Wonderful singing today. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We've truly adored His name today and His wonderful works. And I'm glad to see everybody here today. You glad to be here? Say amen. Good. Matthew 14. I want you to stay till the very end today. We got something special at the close of the message. And then we got just a few more announcements to make sure everyone is up to speed on everything. We got a new bulletin we want you to pick up on your way out to make sure you keep tabs of everything that's going on. Well, I've read two instances in God's Word that says Jesus, when He saw the multitudes, He had compassion. He was moved with compassion. Look at verse 14, Matthew 14, 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and He healed their sick. You know, the call to extend godly compassion does not depend on our circumstances. In other words, if you're going through a mess, does that give you a right not to show compassion to others around you? No. Jesus had just lost His beloved cousin when this story took place, John the Baptist. The Jewish leaders were plotting against Him. And He knew what lay ahead for Him in Jerusalem. Yet He was still moved with compassion. He stopped to meet the needs of the crowd and healed their sick. If the Heavenly Father has such compassion for us, should we not have compassion toward others? Lord, I need to look at people from Your perspective. The title of the message today is, Lord, give me Your eyes. Help me to live each day as if this were my last. Help me to reach out to those who need a touch from God and lead others to the Savior. You know, as Christians, we believe some mighty big things. We believe some amazing things, like God created the world in 6 literal days. How many believe that? That goes along with our singing today, all creatures of our God and King. We also believe that God inspired the Holy Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. We believe Jesus is the sinless Son of God. We believe salvation's real and found only through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Am I getting a witness for all these? These are monster beliefs. These are the foundation of our faith. We also believe Jesus rose from the dead. Now, you say, man, those are big. I mean, we all agree on that. And each Sunday, we gather together and we worship Jesus because these truths have moved us to obedience. And because we believe. And if that's what we believe, why do we doubt God sometimes on the day-to-day stuff? In other words, I believe You for my eternal salvation, God, but I don't believe You can save me from my addiction. I don't believe You can help me with my anger problem. I don't think You can help with my financial needs. Now, do you realize what we're saying? We have no problem with these monster beliefs, but we have difficulty and doubt and fear when it comes to day-to-day living. God, I don't know if You can save my marriage. I don't know if my loved ones will ever be saved. I don't believe our church can reach many more people. It's just going to be us few till the trumpet blows. Now, are we looking through our eyes or His eyes? With statements like that. We're looking through our eyes. Now this week I got a faith lift. You thought I said facelift. Sorry about that. I know many of you wish I would get a facelift. But I got a faith lift. God had a plan. And Glenda's cousin, Tommy, lost his wife last week. A week ago Thursday. Or maybe Tuesday. Anyway, I'm getting all my days mixed up. But he has no children, no close family down there. And so he invited us to come down there, and he invited me to preach the funeral. And, of course, Glenda wanted to go. They were like brothers and sisters, grew up together, very close. Well, we don't see Tommy very often, way down in Texas, and we're up here. But when we got there, immediately we saw how God was working in Tommy's life. He had made a decision when he was small to accept Christ as his Savior. But we didn't know where he was spiritually at this time. But, buddy, when we got there, not only did he share the testimony and the profession of faith of his wife, Nancy, that's now in glory, but also he introduced us to one of his close friends. And since 2006, these guys have worked side by side. And this guy is faithful to church, loves Jesus. And you don't know what God is doing a lot of times. He's working behind the scenes. And we didn't even know who this guy was until we got there. And I'm telling you, God just encouraged me. And this morning, Tommy is sitting in church by his friend Kelly on the back row. And they better not be sleeping, all right? But I think, I just praise the Lord that God is still working in people's lives. And when we've given up on people, or we say, oh man, God's never going to change them or get them back on track, you better not say that. We serve the God of the impossible. That's just one example. I thought of Matt and Gracie. Are Matt and Gracie here? Okay. Matt has been coming since his father, Bob. Bob, raise your hand. All right. And his stepmom, Vicky. Raise your hand, Vicky. Remember, they're our Oriskany folks. Come 55 miles or something like that every Sunday morning. But once Bob and Vicky started coming, Matt started coming. And Matt started dating Gracie. Well, I told you I had a faith lift this week. On Tuesday, I get a text from Matt saying, preacher, tomorrow me and Gracie are going to be married. We're going to the courthouse. We want to live honorably in the sight of God. Woo! They've been living together, but they wanted to do it right. They've been under the sound of the word, and they say, uh-oh, we better get this right with God. So now they're married. Woo! I wish they were here. We could celebrate. But they're going to have a celebration later with their family and have a big shindig. But for right now, they said, nope, but we want to get right as soon as possible. I don't know what that does for you, but that encourages me. When I see that people want to please the Lord. And then I thought of Alexis. I don't think she's here today either. But Alexis has been taking care of Jan Shiflett. Y'all know Myron and Jan? Been longtime members here. And she's got caregivers coming in. Myron's hired them to take care of Jan. And I tell you what God does. God uses us to reach people. Myron started witnessing to Alexis. And then Kathy Hammond has been helping Myron a lot. Kathy's getting her from the other side. Woo, boy. This girl has no hope. Really, she's got great hope because she's got two people that care for her. So Kathy's trying to witness to her. Myron's trying to witness to her. She didn't even have a Bible. And they purchased her a Bible. Y'all, she's been coming to church 3 weeks in a row. Sitting in the back with her fiance, two little kids down in the nursery, right? What's that? Okay. And they're not here today. That's right. She's in West Virginia with her family thing going on. But I just want to brag on the Lord that he is still working in people's lives. And he wants to use us. All we got to have is just a little compassion. And we can lead others to the Savior. Remember what Philippians 4:13 says? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Do we really believe that? You say, preacher, I couldn't witness. Man, just give you a testimony of what you were before Christ. And how you got to Christ, or how you received Christ as your Savior, and then share with them what Christ has done for you. Every one of us can do that. So just be a witness. We can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us. Let's continue to read the story. And when it was evening, verse 15, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. Oh my goodness, what a shame. That they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now picture the disciples in this story. Here there were 15 to 20,000 people. A lot of times we call it the feeding of the 5,000. But look at verse 21. That was just the men. Not including the wives and the children. They had nothing to feed them. The disciples were going crazy. They knew Jesus was powerful enough to meet the need, but they didn't turn to him for help. Instead, they took inventory of their own supply. A little boy with 5 barley loaves, 2 fishes. They looked at their limited treasury. You ever done that? You ever looked at your bank account and went, uh-oh. That's what the disciples did. We don't have enough money to feed this crowd. They considered the place. It was a desert location. It was very desolate. They came to the conclusion that nothing could be done for these people. Nothing could be done to solve this problem. Their advice to Jesus was, send them away. And you know, that's where a lot of churches are. That's the way they operate. They look at their resources. They look at their bank account. They look at the times in which we live today and they say, "Who? 2024, it ain't like it used to be. This is a hard time to reach people. And oh, what about the place that they serve? God can't perform miracles here. We're past all that." Preacher Wayne, Gospel Light was great in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. You know, to some, it's never the right time for God to work. For some, it's never the right time to step out by faith. For some, it's never right to believe God for the miraculous. But God wanted me to share with you today, it's time for all of us to get a faith lift and believe in the impossible. Jesus still has compassion on the hungry. And the multitudes, he still says to our church, give them something to eat. Now, when he said that, man, I'm sure the disciples are still struggling. They're trying to figure this out logically. Did you know God often gives his children tasks they cannot complete in their own strength? You say, preacher, we're supposed to build this church. We cannot do that in our own strength. It's him that builds the church. He just uses us to get the job done. Look at verse 18. Here's what he tells them. He said, bring them hither to me. He wanted those 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. In other words, give what you have to Jesus. Preacher, I don't have much. I don't have the talents and the abilities like somebody else does. Give what you have to Jesus. And that's what those disciples did. And the miracle of multiplication happens in his hands. Little is much when God is in it. Y'all agree with that? That's what happened that day. This world's looking for someone who cares. This world's looking for someone who has the answers. Someone who knows the way. They are hungry spiritually. They need our Savior. They're feeding on the empty substitutes that this world offers. Don't deprive them of the bread of life. Boy, take every opportunity you can to feed them the bread of life. Let's keep reading verse 19. He commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now the disciples, listen, who had appointed themselves to the board of directors in telling Jesus what to do, now they find themselves as waiters Jesus is using to serve others. How many have ever been a waiter or a waitress? That's the way we need to look at getting the bread of life out to others. We are to feed the multitude. The church needs waiters and waitresses to give out the bread of life. That is everyone's business. We ought to be doing that. How easy it is to send people away. How easy is it to make excuses? How easy is it to plead a lack of resources? To even neglect to use what we have? To move forward because of, or to not move forward because of fear? God is not in any of that. He doesn't have a lack of resources. Amen? Now, He wants us to believe Him. That where He leads, He will supply. And I tell you, God's been so good to this church in our 45-year history. He has met every need. Where He leads, He has supplied. And He's still in the miracle-working business. He's still moving in 2024. Y'all believe that? Say amen. That's right. God sent me here in 2016. It was a call from heaven, from Him. It was not an invitation. He wants me to lead this church to reach more people and to build upon the foundation that Pastor Earl laid for all those many years. He wants us to follow His will until the trumpet blows. I still believe God can send revival to our church. Y'all believe that? I still believe God can provide all the resources for us to have a faith-filled ministry. I still believe that God can use our church to reach the world. I still believe God cares about our church. I still believe God is not finished with us yet. Or for you country folks, He ain't finished with us yet. I still believe God can use you and me to change our community. He didn't put us together to tread water, get stagnant, comfortable, satisfied where we're at. Now let's look at the other instance in Matthew 9 where He's moved with compassion. Look at verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith He unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Jesus saw that these people were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, like sheep bothered by wolves, lying down, unable to help themselves, having no shepherd to guide and protect them. The people were being maligned by the religious leaders, helpless before them, wandering about, no spiritual guidance in their life. The religious leaders who should have been their shepherds were now keeping the sheep from following the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. So in response to the people's helpless condition, you know what Jesus does? He encourages His disciples to pray to God for more laborers. Send out additional workers. You know, when we pray as He commanded, we begin to see what He sees. We begin to feel what He feels. And we begin to do what He does. When we're moved with compassion. When we get rid of our eyes and see things through His eyes. Then God can do the impossible. Together, let's follow God. What He has for our church. He's not done with us yet. We look at the challenges in church ministry and we look at ourselves and we say, there's no way. But you know what? Having the correct vision. Getting His perspective. Vision is realized not because of us, but because of God who uses us. Did you get that? Vision is realized not because of us, but because of the God who uses us. I want you to consider the kinds of people God used on His staff over the centuries. Y'all remember this? Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and he was a womanizer. Rahab was a harlot. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. I'm not going to try that. But he did it. I believe what the Bible says. He preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Jesus. The disciples fell asleep while they're praying. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. And God still used every one of them. So how in the world could he use us? Just give him your heart. Just give him your everything. How can God use us? Well, it's because Jesus Christ is in us. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's a powerful reality. Christ lives in us so that we can take his vision for our lives and for this church and let him make it a reality. He has put us together so that we can further his vision for his church. He's chosen to use human beings to glorify himself. My prayer is that he would make us believe. You say, preacher, we've been believing for 45 years here at Gospel Light. Don't stop believing. Have faith. Step out. And let's follow God in what he wants for our future. Unless we believe Jesus, we'll never see beyond what is right now. We'll never dream of what could be beyond what we see with our limited sight. I thought of four things. Here's four things I'm praying for, and we're going to close. Boy, let's take God at his word and believe. Number one, that God would make us believe all things are possible. When I see God working in the lives, we've had teenagers saved. We have people making the right decisions and getting closer to God, maturing, growing in the faith. I'm just here to tell you, do y'all believe all things are still possible? Most cannot envision anything outside of what seems prudent, what seems practical. As a result, we're doing everything possible and nothing impossible. We do what seems logical. Things the church can do in its own strength. Things that are in our comfort zone. Things that are within our budget. Y'all remember Matthew 19:26? Say it with me. Do we have that verse, y'all? Maybe not. Oh, we just gave the reference. With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Man, I want us to pray for that. That God would make us believe all things are possible. Number two, that God would make us believe, ask and you shall receive. How many believe he's still in the prayer answering business? We have not because we ain't asking. We're not asking like we ought to. Go ahead and ask. Start asking God boldly. John 16:24 says, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Man, you start seeing God work in your family. You turn around and see how he's working in our church. Boy, that'll put a smile on your face. It ought to. Joy ought to flood out of our hearts when we realize that God, we still believe God, that he will hear us if we'll ask and we'll receive. Here's another one, that God would make us believe, greater works than these shall ye do. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind. That's scriptural, y'all. He told his followers before he left the earth, greater works than these shall ye do. He fed the multitudes. He healed so many people. He did amazing miracles. Many times we have a less than mentality instead of a greater than mentality because we're settling for the same or even less. Jesus said we could do more than he did. The scripture for this one is John 14:12. He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Greater works. Y'all still believe he can do greater works? Y'all still believe you can ask and you'll receive? Y'all still believe that all things are possible with God? I got one more. That God would make us believe, behold, I come quickly. A lot of times we've lost that expectation altogether. We go about our lives and there's no urgency. We don't have any sort of vision. Without any compassion for the lost. We are consumed with our stuff and ourselves instead of getting his eyes. Looking at people through his perspective. Did y'all realize that in a blink of an eye, Jesus could return? That should affect our lives today. Revelation 22:12. Here's my verse for this one. Behold, I come quickly. And guess what he's got with him? And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Lord, help me to live every day as if it were my last. Help me to see people through your eyes. Can you imagine if the whole church really believed God? Just for those four things. That we truly believe God, that all things are possible. We can ask and we'll receive. That we can do greater works than he did. And if we really believe, you could come back any moment. My prayer is, God, make us believe. Let's bow our heads in prayer. I want you to think about the message and just, I hope you needed a faith lift today. And I pray you got one. I'm ready to believe. I don't want to settle. I don't want to just live life. I want to keep seeing victories in people's lives. I'm addicted to life change. And when I see what God is doing in Tommy's life, and when I see what God's doing in Matt and Gracie's life, and in Alexis' life, it thrills my heart. Man, I could go on and on. I could mention so many other names. But I want to believe all things are possible. That my loved ones can be rescued by God's power. Hey, just keep praying. Don't give up on them. I want to believe that my influence can be felt. That my marriage can be all that God intended it for it to be. That our church can have revival. That we can reach this community with the truth. Would you pray with me right now? This simple prayer. Lord, give me your eyes.